to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Isn't it great to be living in the beautiful county of Brevard, Florida? And I pray that you are as blessed to be here as I am to be here. And we want to thank you for spending the next half hour with us here as we are talking about the Word of God. So we had our faith promise Sunday at church yesterday, believing God that we're going to be able to give more to missions this coming year than we were able to give last year. Last year was a record year of giving, and we're praying that 2023 will eclipse that as well. So today we're going to dive back into Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start off reading in verse number 40 here at the first part of the week and read through all of this so you get the proper context. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 40, it says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Today we're going to be talking about the early church, that it was devoted in prayer. Devoted in prayer. The Bible encourages us to, if we need healing, to call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. They'll pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise them up. I tell people that when it comes to praying, I don't care whose prayer it is that God answers. I just want God to answer the prayer. Through my 30 plus years, I know exactly how many, I'm just not making it public here, that I've been married to my wife, there have been times when her faith was high and my faith was not doing quite as well. There have been times when her faith wasn't doing too well and my faith was riding high. Very rarely during, you know, our entire marriage have both of us been down at the same time. There have been a lot of times where both of us were doing exceptionally well at the same time. And so she is a person of prayer. I'm a person of prayer. And the church should be devoted to praying. If you want to have a largely attended class, you could have a class on a couple of things. If you have a class on end times, you will have a pretty good attendance. People love to talk about the end times. If you have a class on prayer, about teaching about prayer, you will generally get a lot of people to attend because a lot of the body of Christ feels inadequate when it comes to talking to God. But if you call a prayer meeting, you're going to find that not nearly as many people are going to want to come out as, you know, attended the class. A lot of times we want information, but we don't want the application. Let me tell you that you are supposed to have a personal prayer time with God. You and I are also supposed to have times when we are praying, when it's not just us all by ourselves. It's all of us talking to God at the same time. Did you know that God has the ability to perfectly understand what you are praying as an individual at the exact same moment that I am praying, and he's able to understand exactly what I'm praying at that moment? So here in verse number 46, it talked about that the saints were continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were there. The Bible says that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So as we are gathering together as believers and we are devoted to Jesus and we are devoted to the Word, and we talked about that we are devoted to fellowship. We did that on Friday in the breaking of bread. And today we're focusing on being devoted to talking to God. I have a title for God that I use in my personal relationship with him, and that is, he's my commander-in-chief. He's the one that gives me my orders. I need to stay in communication with him because he knows his strategy. He knows the strategy of the enemy. He knows what's going on in people's hearts. I need to stay in contact with him. And I can assure you from all of the surveys and polls that have been taking place, I can guarantee you that there is not too much prayer taking place in the church. What I mean by that is the amount of prayer has never reached the threshold where God said, that's it, I can't handle any more praying. It's not that at all. You know, actually in Isaiah, I believe it is, it talks about God was looking for somebody who would stand in the gap, and he couldn't find anybody. And so he interceded on account of who he was, and he did it in his own might and his own power when he couldn't find anybody else to stand with him. We need to be devoted to praying. Here's what I share with our congregation. I'm going to say 30 years ago, if you were walking down the street and you saw someone that was walking by themselves and they were talking out loud while they were walking down the street, you would think there's something wrong with those people. 30 years later, you can be walking down the street, see a person that's having a conversation, and for the most part, you don't necessarily think that there's something strange with them. You wonder if they're talking to you. And yet you realize that with technology, they could be having a conversation with someone halfway around the globe because of technology. And you and I, they could be having that conversation and nobody thinks that it's strange anymore because of the advancement of technology. I want to encourage you, if you have to hold a hold a phone up to your ear and not be talking to anybody across the globe, but you're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that's on the throne, be devoted to prayer, because God already knows what we have need of before we even ask. So we need to not only make him aware of what we need, but we need to also hear what his solution is. Prayer is talking to God, not because we have to, but because we love him. So about 4 months before my wife and I got married, I moved back to where my parents lived. And those last few months before you get married, those are pretty intense seasons. There's a lot of decisions that are going on and things like that. And back then, there weren't cell phones, and you had to pay a lot of money to call long distance. It was a long distance call. And I didn't even know about the cost of a phone call back in those days. And what I didn't realize is that my parents ended up with a very large phone bill, because my wife and I, she wasn't my wife yet, she was just my fiance at that point in time, we were talking, and she loved to talk to me because she loved me. I loved talking to her because I loved her. And so it was not strange for us to spend an hour on the phone, and cordless phones hadn't even been invented yet. We just had like a 25-foot long cord that connected the headset to the telephone base. And then when you were done, that thing would coil up and it'd be about 2 foot long. But I think that a cordless telephone is one of the greatest inventions of all time, because I can't hardly talk to somebody just sitting, in a chair. I'm constantly up and walking and getting steps in and focusing on the conversation and things like that. But the motive of our conversation wasn't just solving problems. It was talking to one another because we loved one another. We still love one another. So we just completed an 11-day trip where we spent almost all of that time with one another. There were about 4 days where we were, you know, with family and things like that. But outside of that, it was her in the car, me in the car, and Jesus in the car. So make sure that you are praying because you love him. Talk to him because of his greatness. Talk to him because we believe that he can do great things in our life. I will tell you this. There's not a prayer that I have ever regretted praying. But there are many times in my life that I have regretted not praying. You don't want to miss that opportunity. You want the wisdom of God. You want the anointing of the Holy Spirit in operation in your life. We need to be talking to God with more free. Listen, if the amount of prayer in your life is just what is taking place in a church service, you are suffering in your spiritual life from a prayer deficit. God values your communication with him. If you read in the book of Revelation, you are going to find that there are prayers that are prayed that God keeps in golden bowls underneath the altar. And the people are saying, "How long, O God, until you answer these prayers?" And he says, "I got it all under control. I've got it all under control." Prayer is not begging God to do something. Prayer is talking to God in such a way that you know that he's going to do something. You just know it. It's not because you're trying to twist God's arm. You're just talking to him because you love him. So I want to challenge you today to be stubbornly devoted for the things of God instead of against God. And one of the best ways to do that is to increase the amount of time that you pray, and you go beyond just talking to him whenever you've got a problem. Much of our prayer is problem resolution. So when we pray, we realize how much we need God, and then once the problem is solved, then we tend to fall right back into old habits, bad habits of not talking to God. And I pray that our communication with him would increase. Do you know that Jesus went and spent time in prayer before he launched into ministry? There was 40 days of prayer and fasting that were Holy Spirit led that took place before he started doing any ministry, before he chose his disciples. He went and prayed and said, God, which of these men do you want me to choose? And he chose those men. There were times of ministry, and it would be like this. They would say, where'd Jesus go? And he would be off praying to his heavenly Father. There was one time when there was a many miracles that were taking place, and the next morning they were looking for Jesus, and Jesus came back from a time of prayer, and he said, it's time for us to go to the next city. There are so many times. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he knew where to look because he was familiar with the place that Jesus prayed. And so when he went out there, Judas knew where he was going to be because it was his routine that's where he went to pray. So I would encourage you to develop a strategy that works for you. If you're going to be devoted, be intentional about it. Now, I will tell you, if you are trying to increase your prayer time, that you allow for that to develop. So I've got a number of grandkids, and it's a parent's and a grandparent's joy to watch them grow. But they're not immobile as babies one day and they're driving a car the next. There's development that takes place. And that's a God-designed development. So you need to find out, God, how do I need to structure my schedule so that I get to talk to you more? I can tell you that from a wisdom perspective, that if it's all possible, you want to talk to God before you start dealing with people. I know that there are some coffeeholics in the listening audience, and you know, there's a huge coffeeholic industry out there where they make, you know, mugs and T-shirts and all of these little funny sayings and things like that. You know, one of them is, "I know that you didn't try and talk to me before I've had my coffee," and you know, "Don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet." There's all sorts of, you know, those types of things that, you know, coffee is a priority for people. It, you know, it helps to relax. And I've tried to relax and drink a cup of coffee, and I just never have reached that level. It's like, okay, no, it just doesn't rise to that level. But I can tell you this, you you will be much better equipped for dealing with the problems that come from dealing with people if you start off your day talking to God, falling in love with Him, experiencing the tender mercies of God that are brand new this morning, and allow Him to prepare and equip you for the challenges He already knows you're going to face. So that's what I would encourage you to do, is if you can do it, pray early in the morning. Not everybody has the same schedule. A lot of times people will ask questions like this. Are you a morning person or are you a night owl? And the answer is neither and both. I had a paper route when I was growing up. My mother had a paper route when I was in high school and when I was in college, and that meant we all had to get up at 2:30 every morning. I don't enjoy getting up early of a morning. I can do it, but I don't necessarily enjoy it. And I don't necessarily enjoy staying up late at night. I can do it, but I don't necessarily enjoy it. I'd much prefer being able to lay my head down and fall right to sleep. But I will tell you that I will adjust my schedule as best I can to make sure that I have communication with God. If you are hoping that you're going to become more effective in prayer, you need to change strategies. Hope is not a strategy. Not only do you need to set aside a time, you may need to set aside a place. So because I only have people in the office on a part-time basis, I spend a lot of time in the sanctuary. I have access to the sanctuary pretty much unfettered. There's not that many things scheduled in the sanctuary Monday through Friday during the day. And I can tell you that if I want to go and pray and get away from the phone and the computers and all of that sort of stuff, I know exactly where I'm going to go because I know exactly where I've met God in the past. Doesn't mean that's the only place I've ever prayed. Doesn't mean that that's the only place where I've ever encountered God. It just happens to be one of my favorite places. And, I just think it's a great place to talk to God. Be devoted to prayer. Here's another little teaching tip. Thou dost not have to prayeth in Old English. You can if you want. I like to pray the Word. And when you pray the Word of God, you are going to pray according to the version, the translation of the Bible that you memorized or grew up with. And so there are a lot of times that there are things that come out of my mouth and I say, I know that came right out of King James Version from when I was growing up in children's church. And then there's times that I quote a verse and it's straight out of the New International Version. And that was when I was in high school, when I was in college. That was when I was in my early pastoring until they changed the New International Version. And then there's times when I pray New King James because that's where I've spent, probably the last 20 years of preaching and studying is in the New King James Version of the Bible. And so I want to take some of the rigidity, some of the formalness out of prayer to where you just come to that place where you know that you're having a conversation with a person that you love, you're having a conversation with the God who loves you more than anybody else on this planet loves you. Be intentional about making prayer a devoted part of your life. So let me move on to verse number 43. When they were devoted to Jesus, devoted to the Word, devoted to doctrine, devoted to fellowship and the breaking of bread, and devoted to prayers, It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. When we start living as devoted believers, all of a sudden, God is held in high esteem by the entire community. The concept of God in our society is under great attack because they just think of, you know, Christianity as just another religion. You and I know that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, that God's not dead. He's alive. He's not mute. He is still speaking. And so we need to walk in awe of God as believers so that other people will walk in awe of God. And then I can't tell you how many believers are like this. I think I heard the doorbell. But it says that many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I don't know too many believers that are not looking for more signs and wonders. Maybe if we as believers would become more devoted to the things that the early church were devoted to, we'd begin to see the same type of things that they saw in the early church. We will see them in 2023. I don't know about you, but the reverential awe of God and signs and wonders sounds really, really good. It goes on and talks about needs were met. It talks about people had gladness and simplicity of heart. They praised God and they were having favor, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There are many, many wonderful benefits to living a life as a devoted, committed, stubbornly committed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will walk in each and every one of those things. So we're gonna dive tomorrow into some other areas of our life that we're supposed to be have that same mindset of being devoted to. Many of those references will come out of the New International Version, but some will come out of the New King James Version. But know this, Jesus is devoted to you. He's devoted to me. He's devoted to reaching this world that desperately needs to hear about Jesus. Let's be devoted to him, and let's watch what God does through a community of devoted believers in 2023 in Brevard County. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Now, back to the countdown.
20, the Countdown Magazine with William Ryan III.
Welcome back to our Christmas Around the World show this week. It's a little different than our normal top 20 songs in Christian music, but I have had so much fun getting to hear all this great Christmas music. And we have just one more song left here on the show this week, and I have someone very, very special to me to introduce it. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Christy Ryan. I am William's wife, and I help with the show every single week. I research and I write the news stories for the three things you need to know in Christian music. And William let me pick the final song, and I'm so honored. And I chose Silent Night, Heavenly Peace by We the Kingdom and Maverick City Music. I love both of these groups, and I love this song that they did together, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. And it's a great reminder that Jesus really is our heavenly peace. So Merry Christmas from our family and our team here at 20 The Countdown Magazine.